Welcome to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Knowing that ultimately it's God who does the healing, Dr. Medici acts as the maestro, orchestrating a person's health through right timing and right therapies, using traditional, natural, alternative, and spiritual practices. Dr. Medici says it's time for people to wake up to their innate potential to heal and to be given a doctor who can orchestrate that healing. Dr. Medici is currently working toward his PhD in biochemistry at Long Beach University, with additional study in acupuncture, kinesiology, and quantum medicine. He's the curriculum director of the Santa Monica Shiatsu School. And now, here's Dr. Medici.
Good morning. Good morning, my favorite hour of the week. I am Dr. Vincent Medici, bringing you the inside track on nutrition and assorted health topics. Good morning to all my stations. Yeah, as the man says, God that does the healing. I talked about this last week, this rift that occurred somewhere in the Middle Ages and beyond between science and God, where God got the domain of church on Sunday and esoteric conversations, and science got the domain of why your fingers hurt. In other words, anything having to do with health, and this is one of the deals that was made in the days of Descartes and the Vatican, one of the deals that was made is any conversation about the human body was given to the realm of science. And science meant if you couldn't measure it, if you couldn't reproduce it, if you couldn't completely understand it, even if you observed it, even if you experienced it, even if you saw it, it didn't matter. Now, that's a deep statement I want you to wrap your heads around today. Whoever you are, whatever you suffer from, whatever your pursuit in health actually constitutes, I want you to wrap your head around the fact that one of the big problems with simple little problems like arthritis, and that's what today's show is about, simple little problems like arthritis become major health calamities because we took the God out of science. Now, what does that really mean? I'll tell you what it means. It means that sometimes a therapy doesn't fit the double-blind placebo study. I'll give you an example of how these aborted scientific experiments trip up our belief in herbal medicine and herbal anti-inflammatory medicine all the time. Let me give you an example. So today's show, arthritis, what to do about it and how to prevent it. Look at those fingers, listen to those knees, twist your neck to the side while you're backing out of the driveway, and that tinge in your neck happening all too often, starting to signify in the fifth decade of your life that you may have something going on. Off to the rheumatologist you go, off to the medical doctor you go, perhaps off to the chiropractor you know, and they x-ray your neck, or just jump to the conclusion based on symptomology that you must have arthritis. This scares you because most of you know one example of arthritis is those knobby fingers that people get, those disfiguring, ugly malformations in the joint that's just about deposits of all sorts of precipitate crystals. And that can be going on in your knees, your ankles, your elbows, your shoulders, your neck, your low back, anywhere you can deposit this crud. All of which gets lumped into the word arthritis, which means you're getting old. You can't lift your grandkids anymore. You can't run around the block. And you can't lose weight because you can't move. So arthritis is a big one. And what we do too often is use science to destroy the notion. It's false science, but nonetheless, science to destroy the notion that arthritis can be dealt with effectively and through natural means rather than anti-inflammatory drugs, whether they be steroidal or non-steroidal. Example, let's take a simple herb, turmeric, that nice orange powdery herb that comes in a root. It's a root, and you can ferment it, or you can just grind it up, put it in a capsule, or like lots of people in the world do, you can grind it up and eat with it. You can cook it with your soup. Now, we know that turmeric has many compounds in it, one of them being curcumin, or curcumin as some say, and that's a strong anti-inflammatory, great for the joints. Now, what, and this is my point, science, what we know as classic university-based science does, is it takes something like this herb, and it gives it to 10 different or 20 different or 30 different people with osteoarthritis, knobby, painful fingers, knees, or whatever. And then it compares it to what 10 people who have no arthritis actually experience when they get the same herb. And then they look to see the changes over time in the people that have the so-called arthritis and how it improves them. And when they don't see or do see credible, discernible, palpable changes in function, reductions in pain, so on and so forth, then they back up the herb or they deny the herb. And then they try to reproduce this consistently across many different populations. And when the herb appears to work like a drug, meaning you do it, you take it, you get what the herb says you're supposed to get, and there's no two ways about it, then they declare it potent or impotent. Now, here's the reason that this doesn't work. The reason it doesn't work, and I'm going to lay this out for your common sense. So this is the Dr. Vincent Medici Common Sense Show, because my claim, my dying claim will be, really what's missing in science is common sense. And you, the public, have more common sense than most of these stupid studies that are supposedly modeled as, well, our indice for reality, right? If a study backs it, then it's true. Of course, anyone that does these studies knows that that is the biggest load of nonsense ever perpetrated on the human race. What comes out of these studies is usually slanted garbage from self-interest groups no less bought than our politicians. And that, my friends, is the truth. Even if they're objective studies, studies can be designed in a very stupid way. Let me give you an example of why these studies that destroy the notion that, well, if you went to your medical doctor, Kaiser, and said, look, I'm not going to do the injection, or I'm not going to do the prednisone, or I'm not going to do the non-steroidal anti-inflammatory, I'm simply going to take turmeric. The reason your doctor would knock that notion, would criticize you, would look down upon you, and say, none of these have been scientifically validated. And let me explain why their studies are stupid. If you take 10 people with arthritis and give them turmeric, and then expect to measure the results, the benefits or the non-benefits, if one of those people with the arthritis has arthritis because they suffer from chronic repetitive strain on a computer, like they're working 75 hours a week, there isn't anything in the herbal kingdom that's going to help that. The turmeric is going to far exceed the stress from the workplace is going to far exceed anything that any herb can do. If another person has arthritis because of internalized emotion, meaning they clench in the jaw and that clench goes right down the arm and into the fingers, there isn't any herb that's going to fix that. There's two things. Here's number three. Suppose one person with the arthritis has a parasitic infection. Here's number four. Suppose one person with arthritis is dipping their hands because of the job they do into caustic chemicals all day long that inflame the joints. When you're selecting people to determine whether or not an herb is going to help in inflammatory condition, you have to qualify the source in each person, because if the cause is so obliterating to the effect of the herb, then you're not going to get a good outcome. Which is not to say the herb isn't effective. It's to say the herb at the dose given, or the herbs that should be utilized to fix the problem, aren't going to ever be ascribed or trusted to the effect of the turmeric. If you have an arthritis in the finger because you can't drain the hand because you have a parasite, you need an antiparasitic. Now, the antiparasitic would be effective to go after the inflammatory condition. If you're being exposed to chemicals, then the herbs you use or the clays you use would be in the interest of drawing the chemicals out of the hands. In this way, herbs could be enormously effective And if you created a study, to utilize the effect of an herb after you correctly diagnose the cause of the arthritis, then you would see the power of the herb. So if an herb, if a arthritis was infectious and you used an anti-infective herb, if you used an antiparasitic herb that would otherwise inflaming the joint, well, then you'd see the power of the herb. If you used an herb that hit the emotional fabric of the individual, that relaxed them, say like Sisyphus, or any of the herbs that elate the spirits, and you created a freedom within the individual to release the emotional tension, well, then your fingers wouldn't hurt as much. What you can't do when you design a study with an herb, say for something like arthritis, is put a bunch of people together and set the study up to give the herb to the group when what you're calling the arthritis can come from 10 different places, many of which wouldn't be beneficial if the person ingested the herb. And this is the mistake they make when they design these studies all the time. So we're going to talk about arthritis today, what to do about it and how to prevent it. We're going to talk about herbs that you can utilize to prevent the arthritis or to actually resolve the health condition. But what you're not going to do is make the mistake that people do. You're not going to blanket the solution. This will become clear as we go on. As always, get to the website, straighttalk.cc, not .com. And to understand arthritis, the first thing you've got to understand is the word precipitation. Precipitation. Go to picture number one on the site, and I put a test tube there. Now, there's a test tube, picture number one on the site. There's a test tube with crystals in it. It's a big concept here. Precipitation. When you think arthritis in all its forms, you think that out of liquid environments, you're creating crystals. Now that's picture one. Look at picture number two. There's another example of precipitation. Look at those rolls of white stuff in the test tube. You have to understand that what you call your arthritis are different type of precipitates that are depositing in different parts of your body. Because we're talking arthritis, we'll talk about joints. But we could be talking about coronary plaque. Plaque in the arteries of the heart. We could be talking about plaques up in the brain. They're all a product of liquids precipitating crystals. So as always, we've got to get conceptual here because, of course, our job's going to be to bind up those precipitates, stop the conditions in which these precipitates or crystals are actually being formed, you see? To go after arthritis after it's formed is one thing. To stop it before it's formed, well, that's the smart man's approach. Both are necessary often because right now you may have the symptomology. You may have the pain. You may have the lingering concern. So there's picture one, picture two. Look at picture three. Take the time. There, you see that picture number three? That blue backdrop? You see that little pipette there? That dropper? They're going to drop that clear drop into that pool on the bottom of the test tube, and once that drop drops in, it's going to turn white. So they're mixing solutions. And once you mix enough, I want you to catch this, once you mix enough of what's being dropped out of that dropper into that pool of water there at the bottom of the test tube, once the concentration of what's coming out of that little dropper exceeds a certain level, you're forcing out or precipitating that white stuff. So I want us to take a minute on this picture. This picture really says it. Every time you teach concepts, you get better at it. And pictures say a thousand things.